Hour two of the Blitz starting right now here on Fan Run Radio, live in the Fan Run Studios. 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Hey, the phone lines are open too if you want to hop in with us. Let us know. Let us know how you're feeling about this Tennessee SEC Championship. Let us know how you're feeling about Drew Beam and Chase Burns. You know, I want to know. Out there, if you're listening, what are your confidence levels in both of these guys? And at this point, what are your expectations for this team? How far do you think they can go? You know, do you want to see them win an SEC tournament? Do you care about the SEC tournament as much now that you have the SEC championship? Are you just ready to get to the postseason? How are you feeling about this team? How confident are you on this team as we sit here on Monday as SEC champions? So phone lines are open, 865-546-8200. That's your number to call in on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Charlie and Stackhouse here, and we're starting this hour two off with a little bit of an opening drive. First down last night closed off what was a wacky week in sports with Albert Pujols making his first career pitching appearance at the age of 42.
And it was a doozy.
It was awesome. It was everything I've ever wanted. I'm also very glad that it came in a win. It would have been a lot sadder if they trotted Albert in there in like a game that they were down by like 14 and just trying to get to the end of it. Instead, they were up by 10 and trying to get to the end of it in the ninth. They let him close it out in the ninth.
Is this not one of the better things about MLB baseball is when they're just up by so much, they just bring in some of these random stars, and you're like, yes!
It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
And the Rays, they did it with Brett. They do it with Brett Phillips sometimes, mm-hmm. which Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon abused him the other week. But he
so
made
mean.
One of the more impressive sliding catches in foul territory I've seen ever from a pitcher because he's an outfielder. The Giants did kind of tee off on Albert Pujols a little bit, but he did – get them to the end of the game. Jordan Hicks, his teammate, has thrown a fastball 105 miles an hour.
Bless you.
I thought I was about to sneeze there. I'm sorry. Albert Pujols threw in 47 miles an hour. That doesn't feel real that you can throw a baseball 47 miles an hour and it reaches the plate, but he did.
Sounds like something I could do.
He also just completely ruined Babe Ruth's stat of being the only person to ever have 600 home runs and pitch.
Oh, yeah, he does tie that up.
Now there are two players in MLB history that have pitched and also hit 600 home runs. Babe Ruth
and the foreign Babe
and
Ruth.
Albert Pujols. I can't wait for that to be a trivia question.
Oh, man, wouldn't that be nice just to be the only one in the whole world that knows that one?
Finished the night, one inning pitched, three hits, four runs, a 36 ERA, and as this stat from MLB stands, or it says, three unforgettable outs. And I have to agree with you, MLB. They
yeah.
were unforgettable.
This will go down in history.
I didn't really care a lick about this game, to be honest. You know, it was Sunday Night Baseball, and I was maybe going to tune in if it was a good one, and then I saw it was a blowout. But I'll tell you, the very second I saw Albert Pujols on the mound,
switched over.
I mean, I scrambled to find the remote. Oh, I got to get it on, got to get it on, got to get it on. And I sat there
pressing
on the
every button known to man on the remote.
Come on, Albert. Come on, Albert. K him up, Albert. Let's go, buddy. Give me the backwards K, Albert.
Oh, if he had sat someone down swinging, the whole world would have erupted. That would have been so sick. Struck out the side.
He's also not even the oldest player to ever make his pitching debut.
He's the oldest?
Not the oldest.
Oh.
In 1929, Lena Blackburn, at 42 years old and 225 days, made his pitching debut. Albert Pujols only 42 years and 119 days old. So he wasn't even the oldest guy to ever make his debut.
I could have waited a few hundred days.
Which just seems strange. But anyway, I guess I could sit here and tell you about Albert Pujols pitching all day, but you don't want to hear that. So that wasn't the only weird thing that happened in baseball yesterday. The Cincinnati Reds, they threw a no-hitter! Yay! Let's go! Congrats, Reds fans! Your team's 9-26, but hey, you threw a no-hitter!
Chance is just so ecstatic.
Except, you lost.
You lose a no-hitter.
How?
How?
The Cincinnati Reds yesterday became one of the only teams in Major League Baseball to no-hit their opponent and still lose a baseball game.
That's just crazy, man.
As in the bottom of the eighth, Brian Hayes grounded into a fielder's choice, which scored Starlin Castro. Or not Starlin Castro, excuse me. A Castro that I don't know.
That's so crazy, man.
It was Hunter Green that went 7 1/3 innings of no-hit baseball, but he did walk 5 guys, and one of those 5 guys he walked came around to score, which was the only run given up. It also was not an official no-hitter because they didn't get to go 9 innings. So the MLB, it's not ruled an official no-hitter.
Oh, because Pittsburgh didn't have to come up in the ninth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Since he was the home team,
it'd have been an official
no-hitter.
Oh.
But the Reds did not allow a hit and lost the baseball game, which...
Did that not happen a few years ago, too?
No.
No?
I mean, we've gotten, like, close, or, like, we've seen a team, like, give
up a run.
Somehow
I've seen somebody walk in somebody for a win on a no-no or something. I might just be tripping. But that sucks. You just stop being Reds fan.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like,
stop being a fan.
Edwin Jackson, like, threw a no-hitter and also gave up a run, I want to say.
It might have been something like that. But man, if you're a Cincinnati Reds fan out there.
It was funny. I was at the Belmont game at the time. And I was like standing over by the bullpen, just like hanging out with, we were just kind of talking with
the
guys in the bullpen, like hanging out, watching them play. I was like, the Reds just threw a no-hitter and lost. And everyone was just, because they're all just pitchers too.
Just
geeking out.
Just no way. So sad. You think there's any way that he could have just thrown that ball home and not chose a fielder's choice? Just any way.
I don't know. I didn't get to see it live.
I didn't either.
But you feel like if you're able to turn two, it was hit hard enough to go home with it, right?
Exactly. You get hit sharp enough to you. You think you could pick that ball up as a shortstop?
And also,
you would think
that if it's in the bottom of the eighth,
you're trying to prevent runs.
In a tie game, like you'd be playing infield in with bases loaded.
Yeah.
So truly, I have no idea how they didn't go home with it, but also it's the Reds and they're 9-26.
Because you probably could have fired at home and then fired it to first.
Maybe.
At least.
Now I need to see the play, but...
You only can be so great if you're a Cincinnati Red.
The funniest part about it is that the Reds are what I would consider hot right now for their standards. Reds have... they've won 6 out of their last 10 to get to 9-26.
That's a streak, baby.
They are
Let's
over
get
500
to 10
in
wins.
Their last 10 games. They might not break the loss record after all, but I need them to stay cold so people don't realize that the Nationals are also just 12-24.
Oh, God, man.
Yeah.
You might have a fight on your hands for last place.
Not good at all.
Words.
Third down, though. The Green Bay Packers this morning just made Jair Alexander one of the highest paid defensive backs of all time. And it included a defensive back record signing bonus of $30 million.
Good God.
As part of a 4-year, $84 million contract, Alexander's agent John Thornton told ESPN. Alexander's new deal averages $21 million a year, also a new mark for defensive backs. He had previously, you know, just been tied to the Packers for only this season on the fifth-year option. One of the better corners in the game, a guy that I thought if he wasn't banged up this past year, could have challenged Jalen Ramsey to be, you know,
top corner in the league.
He's the guy that I've always really liked.
Man, the last two cornerbacks.
The guy that they really wanted to lock down.
That's a big lockdown, honestly, for them.
So, you know, they were also able, I guess, to actually create some cap space.
By spreading out his money?
Yeah. By spreading out this money with that signing bonus, which is kind of funny. Before that, they actually only had $11 million in cap space. So, a pretty good move for them, I would say. He was a number eighteen overall pick in 2018. He was an all rookie guy, Pro Bowler, second team All Pro, fourth most pass breakups in the NFL since 2018. I mean, really, just an elite corner. So,
the last two corners, Denzel and Jair, man. I mean, they both got paid big, but they also get hurt. They just also have a little, like, last season, they just were not on the field at all times. That just, it's worrisome to drop a bag on somebody you can't really.
Has Denzel Ward had a lot of injury history?
He's out at least four games a year, I think, usually, with the Browns. Because, I mean, when we drafted Greedy Williams, we were supposed to be him and Denzel.
What's going on with Greedy?
He's just hurt all the time. He's literally hurt all the time.
I forgot
he existed.
That
he was
Greedy
cold.
Williams existed.
He was cold, but he's just always hurt. And that's my thing about corners and stuff is just, man, like Jalen Ramsey, he's rarely hurt. He's had a couple, I mean, later, these past couple years, I'd say, but maybe small, minuscule things. I just don't remember ever him having a bunch of injuries.
Like, I completely forgot about Greedy.
Yeah.
He was a dog.
He was supposed to be so good, dude. I thought we had the best couple drafts because we got Denzel Ward, and then the next year we got Greedy Williams, and it was going to be a powerhouse cornerback duo. And he still plays, and he does well when he's on the field. He's not a bad corner per se, but he's not what you expected. So I hope all these big money guys stay healthy. It's just it sucks to pay a bunch of money for somebody that's just not there when you need them. But yeah, dude, that Greedy Williams one got you. I wish he'd stay healthy.
I mean, that's just baffled me. Now I'm just going to be taking a deep dive into Greedy Williams at the commercial break. But before that, fourth down,
hey.
We had a weekend of game sevens in the NHL. Just an NHL playoff update. First of all, Friday night, you had the Panthers and the Caps in game six. The Caps trying to force a game seven, which would have given us even more game sevens over the weekend. And the Caps, TJ Oshie, they were able to actually tie it up in an absolutely wild sequence there with under a minute left on a power play with an empty net, 6-on-4, sending the crowd kind of into a frenzy. But it was your president trophy winners, the team with the best record in hockey, the Florida Panthers, able to pull it out in overtime there.
Yeah, just
hard fought
offense.
Series in the Caps. The Panthers really good this year. So they moved on. But Saturday and Sunday gave us five game sevens. So it started things off. Bruins, Hurricanes.
That was a great series.
A really good series. A series that team just kind of protected home ice, and the Panthers ended up pulling it out. Bruins cut it down to a goal at the start of the third with a Pastrnak goal, but that was it.
Yeah.
Carolina just kind of parked the bus, holding on to win 3-2. They advance. Then it was probably maybe the biggest game from the weekend in terms of games. The second biggest, I'd say, in terms of national attention.
I knew this was going
to
happen.
I
didn't want it
to. Toronto Maple Leafs choke once again, blowing a 3-2 series lead and failing to advance. now for over a decade, they have not advanced into the second round of the playoffs. Even there's even a point in time that they were up 3-1 in Game 7 at home. Yep. Against the Bruins during this stretch.
And lost. Every game after.
And they just don't win. I mean, they just lose over and over and over again.
They can't close it out.
Great records. They have some great players. Auston Matthews was the best player in hockey this year, arguably.
Easily.
And still.
Yeah.
They get to Game 7. And it's Nick Paul, of all people. Who's Nick Paul?
No one knows.
I don't know either. But he had some great goals for the Lightning. Their only two goals is they win 2-1. It also just feels like the Lightning just have someone random every year in the playoffs.
Just be good? They just can get them to the finals for no reason? Yeah. Can they do a three-peat?
Might as well.
I mean, Toronto's let them through. Now I'm
Toronto
scared.
At plus odds, though, in Game 7 was – or, I mean, the Lightning at plus odds against Toronto in Game 7 was the easiest bet I've ever played in my life.
Oh, God. I didn't even look at betting
the
this
Maple Leafs have now lost, what is a record straight, 10 straight series clinching games. They've lost 10 in a row with a chance to clinch a series, and they have not won a playoff series despite consistently being like a top 3-4 team.
So glad I don't like Canadian teams.
Me too. I love rooting against Canada.
God, it's such a nice time.
And then the nightcap from Saturday night, the Oilers beating the Kings 2-0.
Thank God for,
you know,
McDavid.
Good for Mike Smith. He was a guy that was getting a lot of flack, and rightfully so at one point in this playoffs, the Edmonton goalie, but 29 saves and a shutout in a Game 7 as the Oilers win 2 in a row.
Granted, this wasn't a tough first round, but
yeah.
I don't think it should have gone Game 7, man. Oilers are just – I feel like they just have way too much.
The Oilers are another team that choke in the playoffs, yeah. So huge for them to make it out of that round. And, you know, it sets up what – oh, my goodness, the battle for Alberta. Oilers and Flames.
An all-Canadian battle,
if you
dude,
don't like hockey,
watch that
or you're
one.
Just not really into hockey, just they play Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and Tuesday are the first four games of this series between the Flames and the Oilers. You should watch it.
It's
just watch one.
Blast, man.
These two teams play with so much hatred for each other that it really, really should be a bowl.
Not all Canadians are nice. Not all Canadians are nice.
No.
They hate each other.
Tkachuk might kill Tkachuk for
yeah,
for the
dude.
Flames is one of the meanest people in hockey I've seen recently. He might kill a person, but no, that series is gonna be incredible.
It's gonna be fun.
And then Sunday you had two more Game Sevens. Both went to OT. It was Rangers beating the Pens in overtime. The Breadman, Artemi Panarin, winning it in OT. It was Zibanejad tying it late in the third. An absolutely crazy game. One of the loudest hockey games I've watched. There was some controversy early as the Gensel goal probably should have been waved off, and it was reviewed and wasn't. But the Rangers get sweet justice. They win Game 7
they
in OT.
They come back 3-1 down.
And, woo! Makes me happy to see the Penguins lose a series.
It does.
I hate the Penguins. I still haven't thought about that. That early whistle in Game 6 or that offside in Game 1.
Man. I hate all Pittsburgh teams, really. Oh, just anybody goodness. In Pittsburgh.
Me too.
I like
the nightcap. I will be honest. I fell asleep.
I loved this game.
Before it was over. But poor Edinger.
That
the Stars goalie made 64 saves, and it wasn't enough to get a win.
And a couple
Stars,
really beautiful saves.
I mean, they were he stood on his head. As the Stars really didn't play all that well in front of him offensively. Calgary, despite this game going in overtime, Markstrom for Calgary only had to make 26 saves.
That's just outshot.
And it was Gaudreau in overtime winning it for the Flames in what was another really, really good Game 7 and another really good series. And this playoff, you know, only heats up from here with two more series starting with the next round starting on Tuesday and you know, continuing into Wednesday. So NHL playoffs are rolling. That was your opening drive. That was a little let's do that hockey mixed into the opening drive.
Smooth. Smooth.
It was a
right
very
on.
Long opening drive as well. So we'll go ahead and catch a break here and keep things rolling on the other side. Stay with us on the Blitz. Continuing on with this Monday edition of the Blitz. Again, the phone lines are open if you want to talk NHL playoffs. Still want to hear, you know, how y'all are feeling about Tennessee baseball this morning. You know, Cardale Tate, he was in town this weekend as well. Jalen Robinson, the UCF transfer that we felt kind of good about. He committed to Ole Miss this weekend. But, yeah, I want to get y'all's thoughts on everything going on with Tennessee right now with Drew Beam, Chase Burns. Want to know what y'all think. So, again, phone lines are open. Stackhouse will take your calls on the G3 Help Me Hotlines, 865-543-8200. Now, want to let you know as well that the live stream for Fan Run Radio, for the Blitz, happening on the Fan Run Radio website, well, that's brought to you and powered by our friends at Linderman Sports Medicine in Memphis. Visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com to find out why people are coming from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life with Linderman Sports Medicine. If you're not active right now, whether it's discomfort or pain that's limiting any of your activities, well, hey, check out the amazing work that's being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine. Located in Memphis, people are coming from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game. So whether it's your bike, you know, whether you want to get back on the bike, back to the gym, maybe you just want to walk in the park without some discomfort, have a healthier lifestyle, whatever it is, hey, my wrist has been bothering me lately. Maybe Linderman can help me out with that. Whatever your needs are, Linderman can take care of you. That's LENDERMON sportsmedicine.com. Linderman Sports Medicine in Memphis. We appreciate them. The NBA playoffs continued rolling along this weekend, and well, no one told Chris Paul. As Friday night, first of all, well, yeah, we'll backtrack. Friday night, yeah, the Celtics going on the road and Jason Tatum being in his bag, dropping 46 points to force the game 7 we saw yesterday. And, you know, you also had the Grizzlies without Ja back on the road trying to force a game 7. And it did not go as planned. Really, I mean, it was a great game for...
It was, for a jawless
3.5 quarters, roughly. And then all of a sudden, it's like an 18-2 run from the Warriors, and the game's out of reach.
It was a lot like game 5, too. Just not enough to finish it off.
You got game 6, Clay. Warriors. Again... Nothing about this series really made me think, oh, this is a great Warriors team, or this Warriors team is got it. You know, this feels like a Warriors team not good enough to win a finals, but you know, they were able to find a way to get out of this series. And Memphis, you know, definitely has a really bright future ahead of them. But unfortunately it didn't give us the third game 7 we wanted. But yesterday we get 2 game 7s. And holy cow.
No
one. They didn't deliver in terms of drama, but man, did they give us some weird box scores. Some very, very weird box scores. So we'll take a look at both of those game 7s and preview the conference finals on the other side. Stay with us right here on The Blitz. Back here on the Blitz, talking NBA playoffs as the conference finals have been set after a couple surprising game 7s yesterday. It was Grant Williams,
Vol for life, Grant Williams.
Our Grant Williams somehow ending up in as the leading scorer in a game 7 of the NBA playoffs that included two of the best 5 players in the NBA, that included, you know, some other really good players as well. It's not Jason Tatum, it's not Jaylen Brown, it's not Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, not
Drew Holiday,
not Marcus Smart. It's Grant Williams. As he ends up knocking down 7 threes. He was really shooting a much better percent, too, until the end when he really started to give us some heat checks. But finishing with 27 points, 10 of 22 from the field, shooting the most three-point attempts in a Game 7 in NBA history, tying Stephen Curry and one of the was it one of the Morris twins as well? Markieff or Marcus, one of the two.
I think it was Markieff.
Yeah, well, remember that Grant Williams now also up there.
what a weird list of names. Steph Curry, Grant Williams, and Markieff Morris.
Steph Curry and Grant Williams are tied for an NBA playoff record that relates to three-pointers.
Yeah.
And I think, as everyone expected.
Per ESPN, they said he had never shot more than 8 in a game. Threes, Grant Williams, in the NBA so far. He hasn't shot more than 8, just attempts. And he hit 7 last night on 18 shots.
And all the credit in the world goes to Grant Williams as well.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, just for everything that really he's been able to develop in his game. You know, he showed up as a chubby, underrated, back-to-the-basket guy.
Yeah.
That, you know, you thought maybe he had a developmental future with Tennessee. And Rick Barnes, you know, he always kind of said, hey, I don't think he realizes how athletic he is. You know, I don't think he realizes how good he is.
You think he does now?
And Rick Barnes really put a ton into his development. We saw him, you know, grow from what he was as a freshman into an All-American, you know, best player in the SEC by the time he left Tennessee. And then even at the end, he wasn't necessarily...
He was a first-round pick. I mean, a first five pick.
He wasn't necessarily, you know, a great three-point shooter. It was an area of his game that he was trying to work on, but he was not really all that great of a three-point shooter. You know, there were still parts of his game where you wondered if he'd really stick in the NBA. And every year in the NBA, he's gotten a lot better. He's continued to just improve and improve and improve to the point where he's an excellent and valuable member of a team in the Eastern Conference Finals. He's molded his game into the perfect 3-and-D guy. You know, I think maybe he plays like peak P.J. Tucker when he's playing well.
He does exactly what you need him to do.
And the defense that he was able to provide, you know, he had one bad game this series, but the defense that he was able to provide the last couple of series for the Celtics against Kevin Durant and against Giannis, against some of the best players in the NBA, it's been baffling to think like, hey, that's our Grant Williams.
Yeah.
And Grant Williams, I mean, just doing and awesome things.
And he did it all with Williams out, and he had to step up with Robert Williams being out. And he stepped up exactly when the Celtics needed him most to be his best. And he has been better than his best in this series and the series before. Like you said, against Kevin Durant. I mean, he's stifling two of the best scorers in the NBA, two of the hardest to stop scorers in the NBA. And he's held them to, you know, games that... Now they're getting judged for by it because of how great he played them. So I can he is just he's on one right now, man. He is in his bag. He is in his everything. He's got an apartment. He's got a sky rise. He's just doing it all. Man is playing tremendous basketball.
Now, of course, it's time for him to not play tremendous basketball.
It's too bad he's going to continue. I think I'm going to have to pull with the Celtics.
I mean, as you should. Yeah, like I'm a Heat fan, so like obviously I'm rooting
against
the Celtics.
I love Spoelstra though, man.
If you're not a Heat fan, like I would be rooting for Grant Williams.
I've always liked the Heat. I like that culture. Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal down there was always.
But the Celtics, I mean, 109-81, it really wasn't close. They broke it open to start the third quarter. Never gave it back.
Giannis had no help from anybody.
And we've now set up a Heat-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. Those two teams gave us a really, really good playoff series back in the bubble.
should be a chippy series too. Marcus Smart with Jimmy Butler, PJ Tucker. Should be a fun series, I'm not going to lie. It should be very chippy, very aggressive. A lot more kind of not so new age basketball, yeah. I guess you'd say.
These two teams met the 2020 Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. It was the Heat that ultimately won that series, and you know, it wasn't necessarily super close. It just in terms of games, it was a, you know, it ended in 6-4-2 Heat, but the games themselves were really close. Game one, Boston won by Miami won by 3, 117-114. Game two, it was Miami 106-101. Game three, Boston edged Miami out. You know, game four, it was Miami winning by 3. And then, you know, the Heat ultimately closing them out in game six. Yeah, the one game in on the Bam Adebayo block.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Jason big block. Tatum,
that was at still the rim, one of the more improbable blocks I've seen. And I really, really can't wait to see the series. I don't actually know exactly what to expect. I think I like the way the Heat play the Celtics.
It's a very evenly matched up.
I like the way the Heat play the Celtics. I like the way the Heat match up with the Celtics. The Heat are going to open up Tuesday as 1.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
We'll see how that line kind of shifts or and whatnot. But
This is probably a game seven series, I think.
It feels like a seven-game series.
Everyone just matches up well against everybody. I mean, Marcus Smart will be able to guard Jimmy, guard Tyler, guard really anybody. And then Bam is going to be able to lock down Al Horford probably. He's going to probably be able to hold. The X factor might just be Grant Williams, dude, and how well he shoots the three. I mean, if he spreads the floor and keeps Bam out of the center, you're going to have some good cuts to the basket for Tatum and Brown and even Smart.
These teams this year split the season series 2-2. And
that's good.
They weren't close, you know.
Really?
All four games were blowouts. And each team that lost in you know, their respective two games scored significantly under their season average. Like, I think the Heat scored like 76 and like 88 in their two losses. Mm. The Celtics scored like 72 and like 89 in their two losses.
Think we get a bunch of ugly basketball?
So, I mean, I think you could get some, not necessarily ugly basketball, but slower physical basketball. To me, it feels like the winner's coming out of the West. I mean, the East. Like, to me, the West doesn't feel
The whole thing?
Yeah, it feels like whoever wins this is going to win the NBA Finals. And, you know, maybe these two teams just beat each other up to the point where whoever comes out of the West is in better shape to win the NBA Finals. But, man, that is going to be an awesome series. And then the other game, 7 last night.
I don't even know what to say about that game, man.
I'm baffled.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Okay, so the Suns, first of all, if you haven't seen, I'm sure everyone has, but if you haven't seen,
this is just...
Well, at one point they were down by 50.
Yeah, man.
In the fourth quarter? They were down by 50 or close to. They ended up losing by a more respectable 33, don't worry. 123-90. Luka Doncic had the same amount of points at halftime as the Suns did. At halftime, it was 27-27, Luka versus the Suns. It was 57-27 at halftime, just in general. Then the Mavs continued to expand upon that lead. They won the third quarter 35-23. And
The
Suns get embarrassed and booed off their own floor. And honestly, this feels like the kind of loss that can derail an organization.
Yeah.
Can derail everything that the Suns built.
It throws them into a frenzy, and they start just making trades, dropping.
I don't know where you go from here, but DeAndre Ayton, I think, is going to ask for a lot of money, and I don't know if it comes from Phoenix.
I wouldn't pay him.
Chris Paul played some of the worst basketball I've ever seen him play. So apparently that's what happens when he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, apparently you just collapse in game 7. Yeah. So there you go, Chance. He didn't get hurt. But he basically should have just gotten hurt.
After, you know, a really good first two games, game four, he gives you 12 points. Game five, 5 points. Game six, 7 points. And then game seven, he gives you 13.
And Devin Booker didn't look no much better. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from beyond the arc.
I mean, 12, 5, 7, 13, and then 10 last night in game 7. Jeez. That is unbelievable for, you know,
for a legend.
Point God, yeah. And a star player to end his final five games like that. And if you're Chris Paul, you know, I think you're kind of wondering what the future holds at 37.
He said he wasn't retiring.
Yeah, I mean, he's not retiring, I don't think. But, you know, I don't know what his future looks like. If he still gets a premier role, at least on the Suns team, he's obviously owed a lot of money by the Suns team.
I mean, but I mean, who?
There's nothing else you can really do. I mean, maybe for them, you just try to run it back.
I feel like there's no other choice but that, really.
You know, I guess we'll see what happens with Ayton and then what they do with the roster around him. Devin Booker was no help either. 3 of 14, 11 points. For a guy, you know, I think he really became a really unlikable player this offseason, this postseason. Finishing with 11 points. I mean, all the talk that he did with Luka, all the talk that he did in general, you know, the two of them should be incredibly embarrassed.
Yeah, they should not come out of their house for a while.
I mean, Cam Johnson, your leading scorer with 12 points.
I mean, they let Spencer Dinwiddie get hot,
yeah,
and
Spencer
go for 30.
Spencer gave him 30. Like, Luka gave him 35. Jalen gave him 24. And you know, they were done halfway through the third quarter.
Yeah, and everyone else on the team decided to just – they didn't have to do anything. No one scored more than 8 points besides them.
And for the Mavericks, you know, this series – I mean, it went from the Suns shooting like 60-something percent in games 1 and 2 to having 27 points at halftime. I legitimately –
yeah.
Do not understand how any of what transpired in this series actually transpired.
This whole series
but,
went from
2-0
Suns.
Credit to the Mavericks, credit to Jason Kidd, and credit to Luka for, you know, changing things up after those first two games and preventing it from just being a switch fest where everyone just wanted to abuse Luka. Credit to him for at least making
he
an
stepped
effort,
up defensively.
Making just... an effort to play a lot better defense. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like it was significantly better, but it wasn't.
It wasn't him getting picked
on. It wasn't
on.
Egregiously bad, yeah. Either. You know, they figured out some ways to kind of counter that, to mitigate some of that. And it feels like this Mavericks team has now arrived. You know, this Mavericks team has arrived. Just incredible, really, how they turned that series around. After it was 2-0, I thought it was going to be like a 5-1 series or a 4-1 series, five games tops.
Yeah.
I thought maybe a sweep, but maybe the Mavericks get game 3 at home. And instead, here they are in the Western Conference Finals. They'll be underdogs here. You know, not significant, but they'll open up Wednesday as 5-point underdogs. At this point, I don't know who's stopping them, though. I mean, it could just be a situation where, again, you know, Luka, Jalen, and then somebody out of the group of Dorian Finney-Smith, Reggie Bullock, and Spencer Dinwiddie and Kleber, like, you're gonna have to, you know, maybe that's not enough to take down what the Warriors have with all their different scoring options, but
just as well as the Warriors hit the three, it's gonna be hard for the Mavericks. I think
maybe they
kind of
battle go in a blender at times. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if they match up with the Warriors well, but
I just know.
Also, I find it hard to bet against the Mavericks right now.
Luka's just gonna be able to pick apart a Warriors defense, I think,
and it feels like Luka's the best player left in the playoffs.
Luka and Jason?
Yeah, I mean, Jason Tatum would be the only other argument.
And then there's probably like B-tier players and Jimmy Butler and...
like Steph.
And Steph and I guess Clay's almost B-minus yeah. tier at the point.
But Luka, like...
Yeah, I'd have to kind of almost agree with you there. He's probably the best player overall. Left. This is a big. I feel like this playoffs has been just a big year for these younger guys to kind of step out and kind of take the reins from some of these names that have been around now for a while, and LeBron and Kevin. Yeah.
And man, even going into the NBA playoffs, though, the talk was, is there any way we don't get Bucks Suns again?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were saying that they thought we were going to get Bucks Suns, and here we are, the Bucks and the Suns, not even in their respective conference finals. So, a great playoffs. I think this has been a really, really fun playoffs. There's been more parity, you know, some really good games. You had the Game 7, some great series. And, you know, I kind of like the unpredictability. I like watching some of these younger guys, some of these different style teams, all, you know, getting the Eastern Conference Finals and Western Conference Finals. And, I think both of these series are series that could go 6-7 games and really, really deliver and set up an NBA Finals that should also probably be tightly contested 6 or 7 games, no matter what the combination of these teams is. And it feels kind of nice to not necessarily have a super team or...
They're all built teams.
A Braun-built team. Yeah. Or like one of those Warriors teams or anything of that nature.
All these teams were drafted. All these teams were built through like trades and such. There's no big three.
You know, that's actually, yeah. I mean,
there's just none.
Miami, you know, acquired Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler, but, you know, they also built a lot of their team through the draft. You know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Grant Williams. Marcus Smart, like those are guys that have been built. The Mavericks, they built that team through the draft. Like those are guys, that's a core that's been with them. The Warriors, obviously, I mean, we know that they've done. They've had that core for a long time. And they just keep adding to it. So I really, really like the way these conference finals are set up. I'm really excited for them. But with that being said, we're up against it. Final segment of the Blitz coming up next. Final segment of the Blitz on this Championship Monday. Talk Sports up next in the Drive, followed by Overtime. But we're going to wrap this show up like we do, or like we always do, with a little If You Haven't Heard, Stackhouse. You have anything?
Sources. WWE legend Ric Flair, The Nature Boy.
Start that over, If You Haven't Heard.
Oh, If You Haven't Heard, I'm sorry. You're right. It's terrible. I jumped right too far ahead. He's right. It's been a week. But Ric Flair, The Nature Boy, to step in the ring one final time in July. He's going to do one last fight, and he's going to hang up the belt. He's going to wash off into the great night sky as a legend in the WWE world. He's 73. Oh, and it's going to be in Nashville. It's going to be at the fairgrounds.
Oh,
his last fight will be in Nashville, because what greater place was there to be?
Wow, that's actually really cool.
That is pretty sick. So it'll stream live on Fight TV, F-I-T-E. No idea what that is, but other than that, yeah. I guess his last match was in 2008 WrestleMania against Shawn Michaels, but
wow. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for wrestling, if you're into that.
He's 73, dude.
He's 73?
So Flair's 73, dude.
I feel like.
Is that real?
One of the bigger stories of the day that we just didn't really get into, if you haven't heard, Drew Brees.
Oh, dude, yes.
There's been rumors about him being, you know, obviously... He started his broadcasting career. He wasn't great. I thought he wasn't terrible, but you know, there's been different reports about, you know, what's going to happen with him this off season. The announcer carousel has been strange this off season, and it was thought that he was going to sign a big deal. Now, he tweeted out yesterday, despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for pickleball, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know, but everyone freaked out about that one part snuck in there. I may play football again.
What'd you say?
Huh?
You say you're coming back, Drew?
What? Because, you know, I'm sure there's a big market for 43-year-olds who haven't put on a helmet in a year and a half. And it's kind of funny, too. Like, the Saints were rumored to try to reach out to Breeze last year when Jameis went down to come back. And he told him, nah, I'm good. I'm playing golf. But... I doubt that there's any, like, I'm sure, you know, he was just kind of throwing that in there with the tweet, but it's got people talking, it's got people speculating and whatever else, so that may be something to keep an eye on, but.
I mean, I'm a fan if it happens. I love Drew Brees, man.
On the way out of here, though, today, Monday, May 16th, it is National Barbecue Day, National Biographers Day, National Honor Our LGBTQ Elders Day, National Cohia's St. Jacques Day. I apologize for the mispronunciation. I assume that I had there. National Do Something Good for Your Neighbor Day. National Love a Tree Day. National Mimosa Day. National Sea Monkey Day. And National Piercing Day.
Go hug a tree.
Go, yeah.
Go hug a tree.
Maybe get a piercing. I don't know.
Whisper in its ear. Tell her that you love her.
Well, that's all for us today. Coming up next is Talk Sports with John Reed, then The Drive with Russell Smith, and again, overtime closing things out. So a long, long day of programming here on this Championship Monday on Fan Run Radio for Stackhouse and for Charlie. Thanks for tuning in. Y'all have a good one.